Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Republican candidate for governor was in Marion County recently. Let's go in-depth with Ron Corbett, mayor of Cedar Rapids. Well, Ron, you got interested and actively involved in politics at a young age.
At a very young age, I was 24 years old when I helped do some volunteer work for Roger Jepson in 1984. Kind of got bit by the political bug and ran for office myself in 1986 and got elected at the ripe old age of 26 years old.
To the Iowa House.
I was a member of the Iowa House, and I served in the Iowa House for 13 years, and I was appropriations chairman for 2 years, from 93 to 94. And then in 94, I got elected as the youngest speaker of the House and served till 1999. It was a time in my life. Bransett was just leaving as governor. Vilsack was just coming in. I was the top Republican in the state. A lot of duties and responsibilities, but I had four kids at home and one on the way, 8, 6, 4, 2, and, just a baby coming up. And I needed to reprioritize my life and put my family first. So I walked away from it all, walked away from the speakership and all the legislative action and stuff to raise my family. And I've always been someone that's promoted family values, and it didn't make any sense to promote them, but then not practice what I was preaching. So I reprioritized my life and moved back to Cedar Rapids and worked in the private sector, and then after the flood of 2008, ran for mayor.
Well, and a lot of people will have heard about you and your role as mayor as helping Cedar Rapids come back from the 2007 flood. And there was some national acclaim for how you and the city council and the people of Cedar Rapids came together to recover from that devastating flood.
Yeah, that's so true. It was a community effort. It wasn't easy because oftentimes after a disaster, it can divide you. We had east side against the west side and the business against labor and the neighborhoods against the downtown. But we really did have to bring everybody together for one common goal: to recover and rebuild. Now, not that everybody liked every decision that we made, but they were all part of that decision-making process. And we really built up ownership. And last September, when we were faced with another flood, our second highest crest ever in the history, tens of thousands of people came out to save the city. And they did that because they had ownership in the recovery and the rebuilding. And just last week or 2 weeks ago, we were named the 19th best run city in the country.
Under your leadership.
And it's quite a remarkable community accomplishment to be going from the largest natural disaster in Iowa's history to the 19th best run city in the country. So kudos to all the citizens that, really hung in there and participated in the recovery. And, of course, as mayor, you get some of those accolades too. But it was a community effort, and I kind of see myself as the coach of the team.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Ron Corbett, mayor of Cedar Rapids, about his run for governor. Now, everybody knows, all of our listeners know, that Governor Branstad resigned, is now ambassador to China, and we now have Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds moving into the position of governor. We now have Governor Kim Reynolds. And yet you're challenging another Republican in the primary. Why?
Well, I think competition is good. If you look at 4 years ago, Republicans had a very healthy primary. Sam Clovis, Matt Whitaker, Mark Jacobs, and an unknown state senator by the name of Joni Ernst. On the Democrat side, Senator Harkin was leaving, and he lined everything up to get behind Bruce Braley, all the donor class, all the establishment. And what happened? That primary process launched Joni Ernst. She came out of that primary like a rocket. Bruce Braley, he was flat-footed, and he was rusty. He never caught her. Today, we call her senator, and he's practicing law in Colorado. So why would Republicans want to model what the Democrats did? So I think the primary is healthy. I mean, we have an election process in Iowa, not an appointment or an anointment process. And from my point of view, the Branstad era has come to a close, and now it's time for the people to look for new leaders with new ideas, and that's what I'm doing. I'm offering up a new game plan for the state of Iowa.
And so you're not just going to be softening her up for the Democrats?
No, I don't think so at all. It's actually going to make me sharper and actually her sharper along the way. I think, the primary process has been healthy. And I think for the party, if we can be out there talking about our ideas and our vision for the state, that's going to benefit not just the Republicans, it's going to benefit the state of Iowa. We got some important challenges in our state. We have a budget right now that is out of balance. They had to borrow one-time money for ongoing expenses. It looks like they're going to have to go back in a special session to either borrow more money or more cuts. I mean, this is not a good situation right now. We need to get that fiscal discipline. I mean, we have a record low unemployment, and we have a record amount of tax revenue coming into the state. So how can we have this deficit? Well, we have it because we haven't been able to control spending. So we have to look at the spending side. There was an old friend of mine, former Speaker of the House. He says Iowa doesn't have a revenue problem; it has a spending problem. So this issue of the budget will be one that I will contrast myself with Governor Reynolds. But also, there's other ones like the whole Medicaid budget and how that is really in disarray, not just for recipients that are on Medicaid, the elderly or the disabled, but also all the providers that are getting squeezed right now on reimbursement rates. And these managed care organizations from out of the state are asking for more money from the taxpayer. So there'll be plenty of issues to talk about on the campaign trail over the next 11 months.
Are you going to burden our new governor, Kim Reynolds, with some of the errors of the Branstad, or what could be perceived as errors of the Branstad administration? Are you going to hold her accountable for that, even though she might not have had a primary role in any of the policies, the privatization of Medicaid, his taxation plans that have, some people argued were the changes in taxation are what led us to some of our fiscal woes? And because, in fact, Governor Branstad did inherit a surplus. There's lots of criticism of Branstad. Is it fair to criticize Reynolds for that?
Well, I'll only use her own words. She says we've been full partners, that everything the governor's done, I've supported, is what she has stated publicly. So she has never expressed any difference with the governor over the last 7 years. So she's been part of those decision making processes, and she's actually publicly stated that. On the water quality issue, there's a big difference between her and I on that. I support the Natural Resources and Outdoor Protection Trust Fund. This was a ballot initiative way back in 2010 that the voters said they wanted to dedicate 0.375 towards water quality and the environment. I support the will of the people. The people said yes, but it's going on 8 years, and the governor hasn't shown any leadership to support that effort. They've come up with some alternative plans or some ideas for some plans, but in the end, nothing has passed. So you can have 1,000 plans, but unless you have one gets approved, you don't have any plan. So my plan for improving water quality would be to push that voter-approved 0.375 to supply the ongoing annual sustainable resources to make some significant improvements in our water quality.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Ron Corbett, mayor of Cedar Rapids, about his run for governor. What would you do with the shift to the privatization of Medicaid that clearly isn't working? Would you bring that back under this, under the hands of the state?
Well, we have what I think is conflicting mission statements. Medicaid 1.0 was run by the government, and as inefficient as the government can be from time to time, all the providers were just working with one administrator. Now, with the flip over to Medicaid 2.0, all the providers now are working with three different managed care organizations outside the state of Iowa. So they don't know our Iowa population. They don't know Iowans very well. So it's actually increased the administrative cost for all the health care providers. And we have Medicaid recipients, people that are elderly or disabled, that are being denied services. And then these managed care organizations outside of the state are asking for more rate increases. So we have a lose-lose-lose situation between the beneficiaries, the providers, and the taxpayers. So I think I'd be really hesitant about extending those contracts for those out-of-state managed care organizations. I maybe look to go to a hybrid, something that blends a little bit of the mission statement of the state, because that's really where the conflict point is, Bob. We have the mission statement of the state is to provide services to the elderly and the vulnerable. The mission statement of the managed care organization is to provide maximum shareholder return. And oftentimes the managers and the CEOs are bonus based on profit. Now that's a good model. It's a model that our country was founded on, private sector capitalism. But when you blend that model with the state's model of service, that's where you have the conflict. And this model of the private sector is overtaking the state's public service model, and that's why you have some conflict. So maybe a blend where we maybe have Iowa providers and shape it more non-for-profit.
And how about our public schools? It seems that our teachers are being asked to do more with less, and now there's at least talk of letting some of the public money that goes to public schools follow children. And that money go to about $6,500 go to private school or homeschoolers. What do you think about that? Some people think that that would be devastating to our public schools. How about you?
Well, here's what I think about public education. So I support school choice. And when I was in the legislature in the early 90s, we finally passed a homeschooling law. They were throwing ministers into jail for teaching their kids. So homeschooling, open enrollment, private school options, and I also think there's room for maybe a few charter schools around the state, maybe in some of the bigger schools. But that's a smaller percentage of our population. Most of the kids in the state of Iowa go to public school, and we can't abandon the public school system. That's what's always made our state strong. When you think of economic development, why people stayed in Iowa? Because we got great education. Why did people move here? Because we had great education. Why did people leave and then come back? Oftentimes they raise their kids because we have great education. We were number one. We knew it. We boasted about it, but we've slipped. And now we're in the middle of the pack, and I want to get Iowa to climb back up to the top. I played a lot of football in my days at Cornell College and also up in Morningside College in Sioux City, and where I graduated from high school in Newton. The game's changed a lot, but there's two things that haven't changed. That's the fundamentals of blocking and tackling. The same is true with education. We have to encourage innovation, but we have to focus on the two fundamentals, and that's making sure we have the best and brightest teachers in the classroom, and we're equipping our principals to meet the challenges of the future.
I think it'd be tough to make the decision to go into teaching these days. It seems that people don't offer the support or have the respect for the teaching profession that there used to be. Why is that?
Well, teaching's changed and the classroom has changed. And I actually did a study, Bob. Right now, Iowa ranks about 23rd average teacher salaries. And the legislature did pass this new collective bargaining law, and we'll see what happens over the next several years as it's implemented. But I actually went back in time 10 years ago and said, what if the teacher salaries under this new law were passed? Where would they be today based on this formula that was laid out in the legislation? Today, teachers be making $6,000 less than what they are. our national ranking would fall from 23rd to 39th. Now, when I pose this to the voters, I say, do you think it's easier to get people into the teaching profession if we rank 39th teacher salaries versus 23rd? Well, of course, everyone says it's going to be harder. Well, is it going to be harder to keep people in the system? Of course it's going to be harder. Now, I don't worry about Waukee or Ankeny school districts or maybe even Linmar over in Cedar Rapids, but I worry about the smaller rural schools that have basically maybe stagnant enrollment, in some cases declining enrollment, their tax base isn't growing. I can see the big salary differentials to where the wealthier schools like a Waukee or an Ankeny are going to be able to pay more in resources, and they'll be able to get the best and the brightest. And I'm really concerned long term what it does for rural Iowa.
In a minute or two, can you tell us what's your plan to defeat Governor Kim Reynolds in the primary?
Well, I'm going to do it by hard work. You know, hard work can oftentimes overcome money that doesn't work hard. So I've been all over the state. I've been to over 100 libraries. I wrote a book called Beyond Promises, and I've been donating that book to the libraries. I've donated 2 copies here to the Pella Library, and I'll be donating some books to the Knoxville Library later today. So I just want people to give me a chance, have an open mind, to keep me in mind over the next 10 months. The election isn't tomorrow. It's going to be June 5th of 2018. So I'm going to work hard and lay out a new vision for Iowa, a new game plan. You know, if we keep electing the same people to look at the same problems, we're just going to get the same solutions. And I think we need a new approach to some of these issues of balancing the budget, and improving the Medicaid system and putting us back to number one as it relates to K-12 education and cleaning up our water.
Thanks to Ron Corbett for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.